to you live from Studio 401. It's the Go Talk Podcast.
We live?
Yeah, we live. What's up with it, man? I want to thank y'all for tuning in to the Goat Talk Podcast. We got another episode of Heat for the Ear Holes. Before we tell y'all what today's very great episode is going to be about, I want to take this time to thank all the subscribers we have. I appreciate every single one. I know this channel is just getting started. So from the bottom of my heart, we're almost at 40. So shit, it might seem like a small number to the majority, but to me, that means a lot to me, and I'm so only up from here, like my bro Tim be saying. So what up with it, man?
Good, feels good.
Yeah, and finally got that first YouTube top albums. I wish I'd have got more commentary what people thought, but shit, I appreciate everybody, all the subscribers from the first one to the 35th one, whatever. Hey, we going from 35 to 3500 to 350,000. 350 million, 350 billion, 350 trillion. We taking over. Hey, you want to tell me what we're talking about today, man?
Yeah, man. We got a little jam-packed episode.
It's going to get spicy.
Real spicy. You can see from the thumbnail. J. Cole, Michael versus Kendrick Lamar.
Which is my goal. And we always in the group chat we always have it's quite a few believe J. Cole is the GOAT, and quite a few believe Kendrick Lamar is the GOAT. So hopefully we just add a little spice to the Discord. Hopefully, I don't think nobody's gonna convince each other otherwise. But we try to convince y'all who y'all think is the GOAT, because it's always been in today's mainstream art, it's the top three is GOAT. J. Cole, Kendrick. Hey, that's kind of clever. J. Cole, Kendrick Lamar, and Drake. Those have been like ever since 2010 when Drake came in the league and J. Cole started coming. Kendrick, they all came in around 2010. So we just want to, it's going to be a great episode. How we going to break this down is we're going to say like the album breakdown from starting off with when Kendrick Lamar came into the game at 2010 with the Overly Dedicated, but I didn't really add that. I when I was writing notes for this episode, I said from 2011 when he dropped the Section 80 mixtape. What is the first? I know some mixtapes Cole dropped, but what was like the one of the first projects you heard by Cole?
The first project I heard by Cole was the Warm Up.
Yeah.
So my cousin, growing up, I really didn't have a lot of access to the music and
stuff. Tell
you know, back then you had to use like
downloads, bro. Like LimeWire, download of the days.
My cousin, he used to play "I Get Up."
Oh, okay, yeah, I know that one. Yeah,
that's like the first Cole song I really just like learned.
Yeah.
See, growing up though, I wasn't really a Cole fan, but I always remember that song. See, I was listening to a lot of like Eminem.
Yeah, bro, same, bro. Yeah. It was like whatever's hearing on the radio, like the people at the top of the industry, like the mainstream hits, Eminem, Lil Wayne. Who was else in that era? Busta Rhymes, I'm just throwing out random names.
Yeah. Kanye.
Yeah, Kanye, of course. Yeah, man, so yeah.
I used to try a lot of that. So, and then eventually, I want to say when he dropped, not the Sideline Story, but he dropped Orange Center.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Underrated album, by the way.
Yeah, it is.
He became my favorite.
Okay. Because I remember, I don't know if you remember how I was put on. Well, I was put on the call a few different times. It's funny you brought up the Sideline Store, because I think Sideline Store is like one of his first, got one of the first big radio hits with Nobody's Perfect.
He has a lot of radio hits on that album.
Yeah, I heard that a lot on the radio, and I didn't even, this is like me, we were the same, like, growing up, I was not the biggest music fan.
Right.
I just hear whatever I heard on the radio, like, Eminem was like one of my favorites, Eminem and Wayne, and Kanye West, so, I don't know if you remember, but like, back in the college days, the second time I was like, bro, it was, the Rides to Walmart, bro, used to be playing 2014 Forest Hills Drive, and I was like, bro, who is this?
Yeah.
Who is this nigga? It's kind of cold. And right, like for me, I how you was with
Bro, that's crazy.
Yeah, I know, bro.
That's crazy that you didn't know about Cole.
I mean, I knew about Cole, but I didn't know about that album, because I heard the first thing I heard was the sideline story, and I heard quite a few of them from the sideline story. But then I heard the 2014 Forest Hills Drive. I was like, still trying to like get put on the music and trying to find all the kind of artists I listen to. Yep. Like how you say you wasn't always the biggest Cole fan. I wasn't always the biggest Kendrick fan.
Right.
So it was like, and when I first, when did I first discover? I think when I first discovered Kendrick, I think it was probably just like how you said we used to LimeWire and Spinrilla and all those mixtape days. Yeah. I remember like some of the first, I think one of the first songs I heard was off the Section 80 mixtape, like Fuck Your Ethnicity and ADHD. I mean, those some of the first, I remember walking to school, catch the bus here, like playing. I just remember like hearing that. I'm like, wow. And so to see how going from like barely like knowing that much about artists, like, man, this motherfucker Cole is like one of you, become one of your favorites.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's gonna be a great episode, man. I hope y'all tuned in. So
hey bro, you finna get smoked.
Oh man.
He's finna get smoked, bro.
Bring the beat. But that, yeah, we're gonna do how we gonna break this episode down. We're gonna do like I don't know if I already said it, but I'm gonna say it again. Album breakdown. I'm gonna say like the year Kendrick dropped the project versus the year Cole dropped the project. We're gonna go head to head, like what we thought about those prospective projects. Some of their most notable features. Cole has hella notable features. So does Kendrick have hella notable features? And then we're just gonna say in our opinion what makes them the greatest. Why he thinks Cole's the greatest and why I think Kendrick's the greatest. I'll say we can try to incorporate a little bit of rap beef, but Cole or Kendrick didn't really have much. I mean, Kendrick had a sort of rap beef with Big Sean, and he had, like, never really had, like, a crazy, like, he's going beefing with, it's just, like, speculation type. And I don't know, Cole, I don't think he ever beef with anybody. Cole even said that he's not going to beef with nobody. He just trying to inspire.
Cole's definitely had a little beef with over the years.
With who?
You'd be surprised. I want to say the first time I ever heard Cole get in beef with somebody was, like, I want to say right after the sideline story, he had like a small beat with Diggy Simmons.
Oh, wow. I think, yeah, that makes sense because he had a whole little beat for Diddy. Diddy Simmons is Diddy's kid. That's Red Run Simmons. Okay, yeah. Damn, what they even
about? It was that. It was, like you said, it's funny that you brought up Diddy.
Yeah,
because he got into a beef with Diddy over Kendrick Lamar.
Yeah, that's which is really, hey, it's just crazy, man.
What else? Oh, when Lil Pump dropped a song.
Yeah, I was just gonna say, yeah.
And then he came out with 1985.
Man, 1985, bro. Out. And then they had the whole little coming to Kumbaya interview episode.
Yeah,
I was like, he's just trying to, and then you can see with relevancy. I mean, Lil Pump is, I'm not even gonna say, he's not even the same stratosphere. Like, Lil Pump is really kind of just spit out the face of it while Cole is still relevant.
Yeah.
Even with his age and experience and how long he's been in the game. So, yeah, so without further ado, we're going to get straight to it. All right. First out, well, since we're going in timeline, we're going to say, I think this is Section 80 was like a mixtape, I would say, but I'm going to still include that. Came out in 2011. And like with Kendrick Lamar, man, it's like he bringing like him, because he's notoriously known from the West Coast, California rapper, born and raised in Compton. And he's succeeding rappers like Snoop Dogg, The Game, Nate Dogg, who was some other, Tupac, of course, duh. But like, it's like the whole West Coast sound. It's like, cause it's like East Coast had their time, like they broke the game down, hip hop rap, go from Wu-Tang, Jay-Z,
right.
Nas, et cetera, et cetera. So it was like for a long period of time, the best known lyricists would come from the East Coast. And it's a whole lot of where you get, J. Cole gets a lot of his inspiration. But then like the West Coast, I mean, famous saying, the West Coast got something to say about that. I'm like, oh, also, I can't forget about Ice Cube N.W.A. So it's like, yeah. So from when I first heard like Section 80, 2011, it's like you get like some of the most notable songs from that project is Fuck Your Ethnicity, ADHD, Tammy's Song, Rigor Mortis, Cushion Corinthians, Keisha's Song, and the Ronald Reagan Era. Those are just some of the most notable songs. Though some of my favorite songs on the album is Fuck Your Ethnicity, ADHD, Tammy song, but because like what I've always heard about with the Kendrick Lamar is like Kendrick Lamar was the first rapper to turn make conscious rap mainstream. And I always, and every time I think about Kendrick Lamar, I'm like, yeah, this kind of is true, because if you like listen to the content of like, even he starts with Section 80, like Fuck Your Ethnicity, like he talking about racism, oppressions, and like ADHD, the black and the baby. Well, I don't even know BlackBerry was BlackBerry on that one?
No, was, no. BlackBerry was on
Good Kid, Mass.
No, that was the cover with the black and white.
Oh yeah, I think that was To Pimp a Butterfly.
Pimp a Butterfly.
Yeah. I remember hearing that too while I was in school. But yeah, like Kendrick Lamar was like one of those artists. Like he, it wasn't like because you know with conscious rap, people were like us say, you mean you're just being rap here. But yeah. Like Kendrick was able to also want to give a shout out to Dre because I think Kendrick Lamar wouldn't have most of his like that production success without that authentic West Coast sound,
yeah.
Which Dr. Dre helped, which definitely played a huge factor. But yeah, it's like Kendrick Lamar brought the authentic West Coast sound. Was rapping on good content, and he can add like rap, like lyricist wise, bar for bar. So yeah. So what's your like I said, we're gonna do head to head. What's your first notable Cole project you wanna say?
So you said project or album?
It can be whatever you want.
See, that's kind of tough because
well, let's just say since I said a mixtape, you can say project because it's mixtape. Give it a while.
Well, I can always go with the warm up, but that's a mixtape. That's pretty much. That's not even Cole's first mixtape, but that's. Yeah.
That's like one of the mixtapes that
the guy put them on pretty much. Plenty of samples on there. Cole, to me, is. You kind of remind me of Kobe in a sense. Because.
I like that comparison.
Kobe came in the game, basketball, strictly on, I want to say, like, athleticism.
Mm-hmm.
Crossover.
Raw.
The crossover to me is kind of like a punchline.
Okay.
It's the wild factor in the sport. Punchlines and rap is the wild factor in the rap game.
True.
And to see Cole evolve from just coming out with strictly just punchlines and then evolving into storytelling.
Yeah.
Storytelling is like how Kobe developed the post fade.
Yeah.
And just strict,
man.
Just strict skill.
Can't stop it. Kobe put his back to the basket. That
Right.
It was also like I remember with a lot of the knock on Cole was like you said, just not being evolved enough, like the letting Nas down, and like Jay-Z even like some of his it took him a while to get like his first album because he didn't get as much success with his mixtape, so he wasn't able to ever get like his first debut studio album until he finally was. So I kind of see what you're saying with that.
I like that analogy.
Yeah, no, he just it's just the beauty in his the way he, you know, draws imagery in the rap while also incorporating crazy punchlines. Now his punchlines now are not even as simple as they used to be.
Man, facts.
But I'm not gonna really just go
too in depth
on the start of him because, you know, he came underneath Hove.
Yeah, true.
Some people see Hove as the greatest rapper of all time, but you want to go by numbers and money longevity and stuff. But, man, Hove is just...
Okay.
Him!
Oh, this guy. Okay, so now we're going to... I think, Good Kid, Mad City came out in 2012. That was... I'm going to say his debut. I'm going to say that. But it was, I think it was his first album. Well, album I'm going to say, start the list. Good Kid, Mad City came out in 2012, man. Right. Some of the most famous songs. It's like, man, certified classic. Because I still be playing that to this day. Poetic Justice. Backseat Freestyle. Money Trees. Money Trees is the perfect place for shade. And that's just how I feel. And then he got the Bitch Don't Kill My Vibe. Like, it's just... Like, the things he can, like, you can see from his mixtape days to, like, the skills just keep translating. He just kept getting better. And, like, for me, with 2012 and Good Kid, Mad City, it's like, man, that's, for me, that's what, like, I ain't gonna say he was just the greatest in 2012 when he dropped, because you gotta be consistent with it.
Yeah.
But 2012 was the start of something special with Kendrick Lamar. You can see, like I said, with some of the, like, The Recipe, Compton. I remember hearing Now or Never on 2K, bro. I don't know what 2K it was, but I remember hearing him and Mary J. Blige. It's like Now, I think it was probably like
Kendrick Lamar had a lot of songs on 2K.
Yeah, fast.
I think Hot Power was on 2K, one of the 2Ks. Back
in
the
days. 2K, 11, 12, 13. Yeah, one of them.
I think it was like 2K. Yeah, probably like 2K10, something like that. Hot Power was on there. You know what Hot Power is produced by?
Is it produced by J. Cole?
Yeah.
I'm surprised you didn't say how J. Cole was told somebody about
J. Cole told, for those that don't know, I was gonna get it at J. Cole told Dr. Dre
The sign
about Kendrick Lamar.
Sign, which is crazy because it's like for J. Cole to stick his neck out of line when he's not even established like that. I give him his flowers for that. So cheers to you.
Since he went ahead and talked about some of K-Doc's earlier projects, I wasn't going to get too in-depth on his J. Cole's mixtapes, even though Warm Up's really good, Friday Night Lights is really good. That's actually my favorite project by Cole. A lot of people don't know what those projects are, so I'm going to stick to his albums. Obviously, The Sideline Story came out in 2011 and has a lot of hits on there.
It does.
From I Can't Get Enough featuring Trey Songz to Lights Please, In the Morning, Nobody's Perfect. There's a lot of songs on there, and it's crazy to me that nowadays people think that J. Cole is just now like reaching this level. But he's all,
we're gonna call those cats.
But he's always been like at the top of the line. Like, we always talked about over the years the big three: Drake, Kendrick, Cole. Right. Mm-hmm. Now the order might have changed over the years because I feel like that Cole is starting to adapt to the sound. And he's letting other people really just like, I'm not gonna say help him, but like have their touch on his music, because he usually develops his own beats, and his beats aren't, they're not trap drums. They're more melodic.
Yeah,
he has he has more songs. He has videos of him, really putting his beats together, and it's really just him on a piano, his little beat machine that he has. Did you get to go inside his house,
bro?
When you went to,
you could from outside, because I remember that when I was in North Carolina, I went to the Fayetteville. I was like, perfect time to go check out. I thought we was gonna be able to go at least. It's like a week. I thought it was gonna be like a museum you can go check out. But you could only stand from the outside. It was like they had it gated off. They said don't open the gates type shit. I was like, wow,
that's crazy. Well, on the inside of that, he has it set up where. How he grew up with all his posters and all his favorite artists that he watched, listened to, like Nas, Jay-Z, etc.
Exactly.
Even his little beat maker is like, it's like sitting at his desk, like, and for him to like change over to, I'm not gonna say really just change, but just adapt to
the game now.
So he can like really increase his longevity.
Especially with like the feature run he's been on is like, and he's like doing, he's working with a younger artist, like. When he started working with 21 Savage on that A Lot features, I think that's when he like really started to take off, like giving features, like working with some of the younger artists,
right.
21 Savage, JID, like all the newer age artists coming in after Kendrick, Cole, Kanye West, all them, et cetera. Like, because Cole has gone on a, I think for me, for Cole, I think that's when he like, man, I was like, damn. That was a song I expected, like he had the perfect, for that song A Lot with 21 Savage, that was like the perfect for a Cole feature, but also it's like you just, even after from then on, just like if, even till today, he's still killing features.
No, facts.
And this is really just crazy. And so that what was the project you said?
That was The Sideline Story.
The Sideline Story. And that came out in when?
That was 2011. That was Cole's first studio album.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I believe Kendrick Lamar's first studio album was Good Kid, M.A.A.D. City. I might be wrong. Hey, don't fact check me. Hey, kid, never mind. Keep it PG. But,
I'm not. I'm keeping it a buck. You hear me? Keeping it a buck.
So, since I said the first, Brent, what's the next? What did Cole release after that?
So, Born Center, like I said earlier, that was 2013.
Yeah.
So, Cole usually, when he drops his albums, he usually drops an album, and I want to say, on average, he waits 2 years to drop the next album. So, like I said, 2011 was... The Sideline Story.
Yeah.
And, was it 2013 was the Born Center. Now, obviously, I remember 2014, Forza the Drive came out 2014, but it came out at the end of the year.
Yeah, yeah, end of 14.
So he usually waits about roughly around 2 years to drop.
Decent amount of time.
Born Sinner was an album that really just, like, I feel like set the tone for him.
Yeah.
Because he starts the album off with a crazy intro. It's one of the more underrated intros, Phil Illuminati.
Yeah,
basically talking about how he's seen the aspect of how people, quote unquote, you know, sell their soul.
Facts.
To the rap game. Was one of them. But in the second verse, he's basically talking about how he bought out of that whole idea of being Illuminati, selling your soul, etc. It's even in the chorus or in the hook. There's so many songs on the album that I can just dive into. The most notable song is obviously Power Trip. Everybody knows that song.
Miguel. The Crooked Smile also.
Crooked Smile's obviously.
That's one of the other ones I heard on the radio a lot.
Right. It got so many songs.
Let Nas Down is all I think was also on that album.
Let Nas Down was okay.
That's one of my favorite for me because he just paying homage to the GOAT. The greatest of all time.
You got Trouble.
See it.
You got Forbidden Fruit with his GOAT.
K-Dot. I forgot about that song.
It's a lot of songs on there. And then he also has a deluxe, too, though.
Wow, I don't remember that.
The deluxe had Jhené Aiko feature. Sparks Will Fly.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
He had a 50 Cent feature as well. I think that album really set the tone. And then you know what happened the following.
I'm lost right now.
History happened. But I'm going to let you go ahead, bro.
You're talking about Forest
Hills? Yeah, bro.
Okay.
Let's get it started.
When was Forest Hills Drive?
Let's get it going.
I'm ready to get
to that year.
You ready to get active?
Yeah. I'm ready to get active, man.
Hey, when did Forest Hills Drive? You said it was 2014?
Yeah, at the interview.
Okay, it's the interview of 2014. That just leads me to the next K-Dot album, to Pimp a Butterfly. And remember how I said... K-Dot was the first one. Well, I ain't gonna say he was like key in making conscious rap commercial, bringing it commercial like to the game industry on the radio type shit like that. And going back to Good Kid, Mad City, I remember hearing Swimming Pool was Drank. I'm like when I first heard it, I would not expect the song was about alcohol poison. I thought it was just about turning up and having a good time. Then I found out that's what the song was about. I'm like, bro, what? How do you do this, nigga? How do you make a banger like that? And then the creativity in his, like, his alter ego, you know, J. Cole has Kill Edward. I think K-Dot's is Oklahoma, or he got a hell of different alter egos in his shit. So, it's like, the things he can do with his, as an artist, is just, like, the small little minor details for me. And then he dropped, after following Good Kid, Mad City, which was 2012, he dropped To Pimp a Butterfly.
Yeah.
And that was the one he won the Pulitzer Prize. I'm not even gonna bring up Pulitzer Prize because it was one of those albums. It was like if you thought Good Kid, Mad City was conscious rap, but you really had it was a good mixture. But Pimp a Butterfly is really conscious rap. I remember King Kunta. I was like, man, this nigga doing it again with the conscious conscious rap making conscious rap appealable to the younger audience. And I remember the first time I heard King Kunta. I didn't really know about King Kunta was based off of, I think it was a character from the book Roots. Yeah, she like, I was doing like research before this episode. I was like, God damn. Until To Pimp a Butterfly came out in 2015. And it was like, people probably say like the most conscious rap album ever and like the commercial success it brought. Because I think, I don't know the exact stats and numbers, but I'm pretty sure Good Kid, Mad City has been, it's gone triple platinum. It's got the most streams, numbers. Did good numbers wise. I know that for a fact. Even though I haven't seen the exact numbers, I just know because it's just a timeless album.
Right.
To Pimp a Butterfly, I'd say it might not have the same amount of commercial success, like selling records, like selling units and streaming wise. Because when it first came out, streaming wasn't as relevant as it is today. It was about actually going into buying CDs. Yeah. And I remember first hearing that, and then more conscious rap, like the Black of the Berry. I remember walking to high school, like playing that, and then bro, like
that song,
the Black and the Berry, the Sweet and the Juice. I'm like, whoa.
That, you know, what's funny. That song, I was listening to that song.
Yeah,
bro. And I just like the way he put that song together.
Yeah, and then bro, but whoever that was on the hook, yeah. that shit was cold. I just remember walking to school, it was like pitch black. I was walking to the school bus, not walking to school. So I was on the school bus stop, and that's like one of the few songs I had downloaded onto my little phone, whatever phone I had, I don't even remember. But yeah, like the Black of the Berry, first time hearing that in high school. Yeah, like I said, it wasn't one of my favorite albums, but it was a very good, great album. I ain't gonna say it's a classic for some people. Music is about all about the listener's experience. It's a very much well-respected album to me. I still go back to that album, like King Kunta, I think that was the lead single for that song. And I still remember seeing the video. I think that was when Vine was really, 2015 was like, Vine was before TikTok. I remember seeing all the different, seeing white people make TikTok, not TikTok, seeing white people make Vine stuff using King Kunta. I'm like, y'all know what this song is about? I didn't even know the song was about till like a few years down the line. When I started getting the music group chat, we just started learning more about the music and stuff.
Yeah.
So yeah, then this like I said, King Kunta was lead off singing about the rebellious slave from Roots, and then the Black and the Berry, and then How Much a Dollar Costs. Like, yeah, that nigga bringing making conscious rap commercial, like shit like that, and then also, King Kunta, Hood Politics, Mama and Mortal Man is just some of my favorite tracks from that album. And it's like, it's just, this one is like, now he's established and he can make from 2012 and then 2015 with this. And he's just like, he's just keeping the momentum from the previous album going. He's just showing how deep in his bag he could get. And it's like, yeah, it's like using, I'm going to say it again. It's like, for me, it's just stuff I never heard of, like content wise and how it's turning content-wise into making it appeasable for all audiences to hear. Even if it's going over here, you don't even know, it still is a good song to you. It's a banger to you, even if you don't know the story behind the song. Because how I see it is that, like, one of my favorite rap groups was Wu-Tang. But after, sometimes, like, I could get what people are saying, because, like, Wu-Tang, they just, like, straight rapping at you. Just giving bars, just rapping back and forth. It's like not as, like, sometimes people get tired of just being rapped too, I feel like. And yeah, so, like, some, you just gotta, you can have a nice little vibe, just not going crazy with the 16, 28 bars,
yeah,
just laying bars, just too much rap coming at you. So, if you can, like, find a way to have those bars, have a good message with the song and good production, that's what I was like, man, this nigga can't die. This nigga coming off. So, yeah, so now you can talk about the impact of Forest Hills Drive had on you and me, because that's when I was like really started checking out Cole. All
right, one second.
Yeah, while he's doing that, we just gonna make sure everything's good. And well, I guess to say it's a good making sure everything's good. Good chance for, I'm gonna say, the song of the day, and then he gonna get into why he thinks Forest Hills Drive is one of his. Talk about Forest Hills Drive and the impact it had on him. Let me see. Before I'm gonna just shuffle on Spotify. Let's see. Like some others. This one is Belong to You by Brent Faiyaz and Babyface. What you say?
Should just stop recording for me.
It's kind of maybe crazy. The battery died.
No, I did. My phone has stopped recording. Really.
I have to put two files together. That's fine. Yeah, mine's is on.
It's on? Okay. Yeah, we don't have to just.
We're back. Yeah, we're back. And.
Yeah.
And we're also back. Sorry about those. We had a little few technical issues. Technical difficulties, yeah, but we're back. So, yeah, so before we left, I'll talk about 2014 Forest Hills Drive.
Oh, yeah. known as Cole's best album. You know what it is.
Platinum, no features.
Yeah. He of course he gonna give away the accolades to Cole.
That was on purpose.
Anyways, yeah. But when that album came out, there was nobody else that ever gave, well, I ain't gonna say ever, in 25 years prior to that, to drop an album, go double plat. He did say it went triple plat, which it did later on. But at the time, no one was able to achieve double plat with no features. And Cole did it on a classic.
I can't say it wasn't a classic, because indeed it was.
January 28th, which is his birthday, he had a song. He made Wet Dreams.
Man, that's...
Everybody knows about that iconic,
man.
That iconic song.
And man, because can't even stand up.
'03 Adolescence, underrated song.
The whole album.
Fire Squad, where he's name dropping
yeah.
a bunch of artists from Macklemore to Eminem to Iggy.
I didn't really catch that. Name dropping artists.
Oh yeah, oh yeah. From Tales to the Two Cities
yeah.
to apparently. Was a radio track. Love Yours, my favorite song of all time. You know what I'm saying?
Love Yours is your favorite song of all time?
Oh, yeah, because it's real relatable. He basically talking about, you know, it's always going to be something, someone that's going to have a better lifestyle than you or yeah. somebody that, like he said, like one part he said, there's always going to be a better bitch out there on the yeah. tours.
Yeah, facts.
You got a girl.
Yeah, exactly. You got somebody already. Under you.
Yeah, bro. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. she may not be the
hey, but she,
the
she,
baddest. But you know
bad
what I'm saying?
To you, so.
But exactly, she bad to you.
There's always gonna
mindset,
be somebody.
There's always gonna be somebody out there, but you're just not gonna be happy till you love yours.
Yeah, facts. True.
He also talked about in that song, growing up, he displayed the imagery in the music video that it was the kid on the block. May have had all the shoes, all the clothes,
yeah,
et cetera. And you didn't have nothing. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? But then, fast forward, you know, you not having that stuff growing up pushes you to become something greater.
Yeah,
so now you, the one with the cars, the clothes, et cetera, the house, the bad bitch, you
yeah.
know what I'm saying? And then, looking at homie from the block,
He
ain't got Jack.
Yeah, because
he's still living with moms.
Yeah.
No car.
Dang,
barely any money coming in.
Yeah.
So you never know what your life gonna turn into. You know?
And somebody always trying to compare a lot. Somebody might look at you. You might see that you don't have everything that somebody else has, but somebody wants to want something that you do have. And you trying to be like them, and they trying to be like you. It's just the whole circle going back and forth.
Right.
Yeah. So yeah, I feel so.
And then so the song that everybody knows, obviously, there's no Role Models.
Yeah, the Bush with the Fool Me Once time.
Yeah. That's I probably say that's probably Cole's most successful track over time, even though he has a lot of tracks that's successful, but even if you like see him go on tour, you see him at concerts, or you see him guest starring on somebody else's show or something, he always plays this track because it's a timeless track.
Yeah, facts.
Everybody pretty much knows or
they know
knows
the
song, you know.
They know that Fool Me Once, Can't You Fool
again.
Me Again.
Yeah.
Fool Me One Time, Shame on you.
You.
Fool Me Twice, Can't Put the
blame
on
you.
Fool Me Three Times, Fuck the Peace Sign.
Load the chopper, Let It Rain on You. Hey, man. Shout out to the GOAT, dog.
Kendrick, you said shout out to Kendrick.
Man, stop it. Stop it.
Stop it. Stop it.
But yeah, and it really just showed, that album really showed that Cole
putting it all together.
Yeah, he got into a mode where he felt like he didn't need none of you niggas. He didn't. And he did it 2 years in a row, if you want to talk about it. Well, I ain't gonna say 2 years in a row. Two albums in a row, if you want to talk about it.
See another artist who also didn't need a feature?
Right, here we go with this. Hey, bro. Let's keep the show going, bro. We got a lot of shit to talk about.
You know, we're agenda pushers here. We're always pushing agendas. Yes.
Keep going.
All right. So, yeah, he's talking about how the impact and how great, how the longevity of 2014 Forest Hills Drive. Which is great. I can't even knock it myself. But then we go from then it was 2015, Kendrick dropped Pimp a Butterfly, which I talked about then. Like, one of his, for me, it's right behind Good Kid, Mad City, which is Damn, which is another also great album, like a timeless classic. Like, bro, before I even talk about the songs on that album, like, I don't know if you ever heard about the Theory Hub. You can play it from beginning to end, from like the first track to the last track. You can also play it from the last track back to the first. Like, bro, I was listening to Duckworth before you came. Yeah. And then at the end of Duckworth, there was pretty much just like a snippet of all the songs from the album just played real fast. I was like, bro.
You know, that's my favorite Kendrick Lamar project.
Yeah, I feel that because that's.
I think it's his best, but you know.
I think it's his,
I'm not going to go there for
it. But like, man, the first vibes he brought with Good Kid, Mad City, it's like, man, like.
That's timeless, though.
Time, yeah.
But so is Damn.
Damn is Damn, bro. Like,
Damn, nigga.
Like, man, bro, I remember, like, because I remember the lead-off single for that album was also Humble, which you can also say is,
Radio Track.
It was Radio Track. I ain't gonna say it's conscious rap, because he was like, Bitch Be Humble. It's like, not really much conscious rap, too, but he still made it into a banger. And it's like, the track listing for Damn is like, it's like the first half of the album. It's like the things he incorporates, the things he's scared of, like lust and like trying to find love, etc. I'm not getting exactly on point, but it's like the content in that album. It's like it is timeless. Like, bro,
what's your favorite track from that album?
Favorite track from that album, I'd probably have to say is Duckworth.
My favorite track is Feel.
Yeah, I like
Feel is crazy.
Yeah, Feel.
That's my favorite Kendrick Lamar
song. And then probably also be Lust too. Like. But I like the whole, but yeah, that album, I was like, God damn, this nigga don't miss.
And the track with,
Loyalty. Yeah. That was also one of the bangers, too. I'm like, that's the GOAT, nigga.
Yeah.
K-Dot, Oklahoma. Shout out West Coast.
Don't listen to him, bro. Don't listen to him.
Come on, man. You can't not grade this, man. You can't not. And also, like, bro, like how I said on with the Kendrick Lamar making conscious album, also, Triple X also that song. Oh. Or like how you know, I don't know if you remember like how he just does a quick 180. He's like, all right, kids, we're gonna talk about gun control. Like, bro, what the fuck, bro? Like, bro, you know, like gun control is obviously a major problem in America. And like for him to incorporate from like the first half of it, and like XXX Triple X is also a good song. Then he just does I don't remember exactly what XXX was about. I probably listen to it again. But I just it always stuck with me like that complete 180 flip. All right, kids, we're going to talk about gun control. I'm like, bro, what the fuck? I'm like, bro, this nigga's just spazzing and he's just doing it. Like, I'm like, bro, this man must be stopped. He can't be stopped. And like, also, like, the Humble, I said Humble was the lead single.
Yeah.
Some of my favorite songs from the track, from the album was XXX, Loyalty, Duckworth. And like, with Duckworth, what makes it also so good is like the, because I think Duckworth is based off who is like, you know, TDE and but I think the founder of TDE. And also, it's like dad, because it's like how at the end is like if, because his dad, I think, was working at the KFC, which the TDE executive, I don't know, something like that.
Yeah.
And it's like him, the TDE executive and his dad was like really cool friends, because his thing, the TDE dude was, I think he was a blood or something. And then his dad worked at the KFC, and to get on his good side, his dad, like, he would give him free chicken and stuff like that. And so, like, but that's two extra biscuits. But it's like,
bro, watch out,
bro. But no, like, because he was saying, because like, if he didn't become friends with his dad didn't become friends with the TDE executive who runs TDE now, like, that wouldn't be a Kendrick Lamar. Because he was saying like, type shit, like, you're gonna end up killing his dad. You know, that's my interpretation from the song. But like, bro, if you just hear the album, you're like, whoa, that's just me.
Hey,
bro. That's just my interpretation. How I see, I don't know exactly everything that happened, but I do know that's from what I heard. I was like, wow. Some moments of the album, you're just like, starstruck. You're like, damn.
I'm kind of glad you brought up TDE.
Yeah,
bro. So let's talk about it.
Let's talk about TDE. Dreamville. Dreamville is more competent.
You see how he said that? With no hesitation.
Because TDE is the worst. You see what they did with Schoolboy Q. You see what they did with SZA. They can't,
SZA. Label is that? Who's involved with that?
TD Top Dog.
No.
Kendrick Lamar. I don't know the role.
I don't want to hear it.
I don't think Kendrick Lamar is not holding back SZA from releasing. He's not holding back Schoolboy Q from releasing. He's not holding back. I think he's holding back himself from releasing. Because after he dropped, I think after he dropped 2017, damn, is then he really just like, I think the his relationship with TDE and it's like, because then he just went on that notable, he just was disappeared from the game. Nobody heard from after he dropped Damn.
Yeah.
Well, not after he dropped, it was then he dropped Black Panther soundtrack.
Yeah.
So, despite how unprofessional TDE is, I'm not going to put all of it. I'll put a little.
I'm not letting you get away
with it. I'll say a little. I think he was he might have created it, but I think he was just more like the main artist. I don't think he had much. Because, bro, if you have great artists, why wouldn't you want them to release their music?
That's the crazy part. TDE has an amazing lineup of artists. Artists that can put out songs without having the help of others and still put out hits like Schoolboy Q, like you said.
Isaiah Rashad.
SZA especially. Yeah. She's the biggest artist on there outside of Kendrick.
Yeah. And then also J-Rock also on TV. Like, bro, they great Absol and they all and then who was Reason also signed on TDE. And then the main thing we always talk about a lot how terrible in the music group chat, how terrible management wise just gatekeeping their he's got more money for them not releasing, or I don't know exactly the policies of how it worked. I just know I'm just not better because if you're an artist, you're gonna want to drop music. You're not gonna drop it every year, but
this is somebody he calls a GOAT,
the greatest of all, greatest of this generation. Yes, all time.
When you have Nasir. When you have a impact on the music industry or the rap game as much as Kendrick Lamar does. Hey, bro, some of that is his fault. Because you don't see Cole doing that. Cole got cats that are not even really known like that. Jid just got known pretty much this past year because of TikTok.
Yeah, that was just really casual, bro. I hate casual.
You know what I'm saying? Bro, but he's been around in the rap game for a while. A
long time. Yeah, that's another reason why I like Cole, because the discoveration of Jiddy Jid is just another one of my favorite up-and-coming rappers.
And some might say that he's not even the biggest artist on the label.
On Dreamville?
Ari Lennox.
Oh, yeah, true.
Everybody, all the females know who Ari Lennox is.
Facts. Because she's R&B singer. So you have, and that's, it's like Ari Lennox, SZA. They both have their respective female talent. So,
Boz also.
Boss hasn't lived up to my high expectations. No, being an MC from New York, bro. I'm always, to this day, I'm always picking Jiddy Jid over Boss.
Yeah,
and I fuck with him, and I like Boss some of his songs.
I'm just saying that when you're a high caliber artist like Kendrick Lamar, where you getting on a song with somebody can really uplift and change that dynamic of that artist, like how J. Cole did with Ari when she dropped Shea Butter Baby.
Yeah,
even though that was on a soundtrack for a very good movie.
Yeah.
In Creed,
yeah.
Still, though, everybody knew that, we got a voice in the industry.
And then Kendrick also did a few songs with, I think, All the Stars. Was Kendrick and SZA?
I don't know how that happened. It's not perfect.
But yeah, put a thing in the sky. Yeah. Oh, speaking of, my favorite Cole project is For Your Eyes Only.
Okay.
That's always going to be my favorite Cole. This is like the how personable he got in the album, who it was for. I was like, man, that's, bro, the neighbors think I'm selling dope.
He got a mind.
Say what?
You got a mind.
I'm not a casual. But the neighbors, what's always one of the favorites that always stuck with me is the neighbors think I'm selling dope. He's like, and motherfucker, I am. You talking about his music?
For people that don't know, that's exactly what he's talking about. What happened is, J. Cole was making music at his crib, and what happened, he lived in a, I'm not going to say.
Ghetto?
I'm going to say he lived in a privileged neighborhood.
Oh, okay. Not the worst part. Yeah, it's ghetto, middle class.
And, he had a nosy neighbor that seen all these cars pulling up to his crib. And, usually when you got a black cat in a neighborhood, you got a bunch of cars pulled up at obscure times and stuff. The day you think something crazy going on down the street.
Yeah, Karen and Jim coming up. These guys.
But yeah, and they called the cops, and basically a SWAT team raided J. Cole's house. So the bar is, the neighbors think I'm selling dope. Motherfucker, I am.
Yeah. You talking about his music.
Talking about his music. Hey, stop playing with him, bro. Big ghost shit.
Hey, I got some notable. Don't just wait till we get to these notable features. So yeah, I got some very good.
Bro,
yeah.
Notice he said notable features, and we're talking about the king of features. But okay, keep going.
All right, this guy. Well, like I said, we're agenda pushers here. He's gonna push his agenda.
Okay. Big ghost, bro.
Stop I'm gonna push mine.
Cold world.
This guy. So yeah, and for after going back to Damn, like I said, some of my favorite songs on the album. It's like for me, when after he released this album, I was like, man, you don't have anything left to prove. You've shown how great you are. You've shown what you can do, rap wise, lyrics wise, storytelling wise, right. Everything, production wise. Like so, for me, he left nothing left to prove. And like I said, brought up how the album played backwards to forward. Like you can play it from beginning to end, then from the end to the beginning. It's just like. Some, I haven't heard no shit like that before.
Yeah.
So that I think that for me that's what like really put him into a stratosphere by himself. That's what I think really started to say, man, this nigga Kendrick the greatest of this generation.
Yeah.
So yeah, for me, and then he had the next year he dropped it. I'm not even gonna include the soundtrack to Black Panther because it was a collaboration album, even though he was like the main one to produce it, et cetera.
You see, he didn't want to do that because. You know, if he would have brought up the collaboration albums,
I could have did
the J. Cole Dreamville albums.
Oh, yeah.
You don't want to smoke with those.
Oh, that Dreamville was winning that because Dreamville, bro. Dreamville, they released, their artists, they released their music.
Yeah.
Except by us. But yeah, everybody else.
Hey, bro.
They released their music. So yeah, I'll give, Cole gets the nod when it comes to the Dreamville, Revenge of the Dreamers tapes. So some of really some. Hella good song. Song's favorite. It put me on Luke Goldmouth. Yeah, that's another one of my favorite. Mm-hmm. He don't get the respect and recognition he does, but he just crazy because he tough like that too.
Oh, thanks.
And so what was the after Bruce Damn came out in 2017, what was the follow up album for Cole?
Oh, since we pretty much already touched on it because you brought it up, For Your Eyes Only.
Oh, yeah, okay.
You said that was one of your favorite Cole album.
Yep, yeah.
For Your Eyes Only. It's the follow-up to 2014 Forest Hills Drive, and it was another album where he went double platinum with no features, back-to-back. Notable songs. Like you said, he already said Neighbors. You got Immortal, one of my favorite tracks on there, banger. Deja Vu was... Let me talk about Deja Vu real quick.
Mm-hmm.
Deja Vu is the song where, remember Bryson Tiller dropped, I think it was Exchange?
Mm-hmm.
Exchange was a hit for...
Oh, yeah, because you show use that little sample.
Right.
Stop. Yeah. Okay, yeah.
And what happened is, Bryson Tiller, I guess somebody from his camp got a hold of this sound. Everybody knows the sound on Exchange. Sound like a baby in the background. And he made a hit off of it. And then Cole dropped Deja Vu, I'm going to say either a couple years after.
Yeah.
And it had the same sample, and people thinking Cole stole it. What happened is I was originally one of Cole's beats and sounds, and Bryson Tiller just happened to get his hands on it somehow, some way. So the sound was really stolen. So it's still... Got on the radio, still got plays.
Both of them still got plays.
Obviously, the main track on the album is For Your Eyes Only, the actual track. 9-minute song. For those that don't want to listen to 9-minute song, it's a really, really good song.
Man, challenge yourself. Go listen to a 9-minute song. You ain't doing nothing else.
Yeah. Basically talking about a friend of his. That didn't live the, I guess, like, the best lifestyle. And he had a daughter.
Yeah.
And J. Cole is basically telling a story about her dad.
Mm-hmm.
It's really, really in-depth, really nice. I actually went on tour. I mean, not on tour. Yeah, I went to his concert for Four Your Eyes.
Yep.
And seeing that performance, seeing him perform that song live was really magical. I ain't gonna lie.
I'm already knowing. I remember seeing it was Kendrick and SZA that time they came to Houston. That was the only time I seen Kendrick in performance. But yeah, because also I remember how I said like because remember in that I think it was in that song he was like how he was talking to his homeboy. He was trying to get like him, And his homie was like, nah, you trying to get like you because you got a caring mom and shit like that. And yeah, it's pretty much you never know what you got until because somebody, what you have, somebody might want, and what you see someone else have, they might. Yeah, so it's just a whole sort of thing. But yeah.
Yeah. And then I want to say Cole, I think that album, okay, Forest Hills Drive made Cole really just like stick to everybody. Mm-hmm. And then Forest Hill Drive just made his, I guess, he didn't even have to drop another album after that if he didn't want to. Because everybody was already saying, okay, Cole is one of the best rap artists of all time just after that. And then obviously he still was going to make more music. He was even at a time where he was flirting with retiring.
Yeah.
When he was dropping songs like
that DJ Khaled album.
Yeah.
Not contemplating, bro. That was hot.
Yeah.
Straight out of Basic Training, man. Mm-hmm. Yeah. 2016.
He had songs like False Prophets and Everybody Dies.
Yeah.
What else? Oh, even the Black Friday joint where him and Kendrick basically borrow each other's beats from songs like All Right.
Yeah.
And Kendrick did his verse on it's a song from 2014, for Tales of Two Cities.
Yeah.
And they basically swapped song, both rapped over them. And I think I think Cole was really in a mode where he felt like I said earlier, he felt like he didn't need anybody, and everybody was just like,
yeah, he could do it by himself.
Do it by yourself.
Yeah. So I remember how you said you blame Kendrick for the role of TDE and their artist. So who do you think's at fault with their collab album they were supposed to do, but they never did? You put in or at fault any?
So on the Black Friday track, on the last part of the song, he basically mentioned like the community, the music community, people that's listening to Cole, any like just listening to rap, and really just wanted Cole and Kendrick to perform a collab album. He felt like that people couldn't really just either digest or just handle what they could put together.
Yeah.
And it was going to cause all kind of controversy because, you know, when you put a GOAT in one perspective and a GOAT in another perspective, people are going to tend to want to put them against each other. How we're doing right now.
So I was like, man, that was pretty weird. Because I feel like we still need that, even though we have our own opinions, who we think is the best. Because for me, iron sharpens iron, and whoever they would have both had each had almost they dominated on the album. I just really wanted that album.
I think that album is not going to come.
Yes,
but I think they'll drop a track. Kind of like how
they got something worked on halfway cooking, and then somebody's producers foul and shit like that.
Kind of like how J. Cole and Drake.
Yeah, I think the second half of his career.
Yeah, they got songs together, and you know, it's like I said, it's kind of really hard to put two very great artists on the same track or same album because like it's always gonna be, oh, this dude out-rapped him, or this dude out-rapped, you know, it's not gonna people enjoy the music. So I think that's the reason why they really just didn't go ahead and drop it.
I remember seeing how they was just, at the time, their schedule was just too busy for them to just, they're both doing their own things.
Yeah.
And, going back to, because after Kendrick dropped after he produced whatever for the Black Panther soundtrack, then he just went like radio silent.
Yeah,
and I think I don't know if when they dropped that if they dropped that collab release on Black Friday song, was it before? I'm pretty sure it was probably before that Black Panther soundtrack album. So then, because then after that soundtrack, Black Panther soundtrack album, K-Dot just went quiet, and then that's when Cole just really picked up his momentum. So that's when like the Discord, because like for me, The K-Dot Big number one, he came from like 2012 when he first came in the game with Good Kid, M.A.A.D City to Pimp a Butterfly, and then Damn, and then he just after that when he dropped Damn, he felt like he didn't have anything left to prove.
Yeah,
because he did everything. He collaborated with artists. He had started his own label, I don't know exact role, but yeah, being the founder of something with TD Top Dog Entertainment.
Yeah,
and then Remember the year J. Cole a lot came? I think it was right around after the Black Panther soundtrack, because then Cole came in with a lot. Then he just went on that feature and he just went crazy.
Yeah, no, he dropped a tweet, and I want to say it was either after KOD dropped,
yeah,
or right before. He dropped a tweet. He was like, "Feed me beats. I'm eating everything."
Oh yeah.
And I want to say it was after KOD, because if you go back and look at KOD, which released in 2018, there was no features on it. Yeah. It put features, Kill Edward, but Kill Edward's really J. Cole.
J. Cole's alter ego.
Yeah. But since we're talking about KOD, let's go ahead and get to that too. KOD was J. Cole's fifth studio album. Pretty good album. You know, I think a lot of people like to say that it's one of Cole's better albums. Because of what he's talking about. KOD has different meanings. People call it Kids on Drugs or King of Dreams or something.
I thought it was King. I don't remember exactly what it would be, a Kids on Drugs.
You got a lot of good songs on there. ATM was the
Turn It Up.
The hit. It was the hit.
I remember you see it on ESPN a lot.
You'll see it on ESPN. It was on NBA Live. It got played during the NBA Finals.
Mm-hmm.
He even played it when he performed at the All-Star.
All-Star game. That's when it was in North Carolina. Canada.
And I think that was the last time I felt like Cole was in the bag where he felt like that I'm going to make music my way, whether you like it or not.
Yeah.
And it still did great. Then after that, that's when he really was just like, okay, I think I need to get on the feature train.
Man.
And it's crazy, like, Cole has always been great to me. Like, before KOD, before For Your Eyes Only, like I said, before Forest Hills Drive, he was always great to me, but now, like I said, with the Kobe announcement, he's taking his game and he's polishing it.
Yeah, hold on. We got to pause because we ran out of space. Okay. Damn. I don't even realize when we ran out of space. Again, we want to apologize for the technical difficulties.
Yeah, man.
With work with us, we're still trying to figure out how we're going to have all these different recording mediums and.
Yeah.
It's trial and error, man. So thank you for your patience. Thank you for staying tuned to this episode. Before we got disconnected, he was talking about how J. Cole and KOD, how he was more to it. He like making music with his sound, his style, et cetera, et cetera. So you kind of remember what you were saying with that, your train of thought?
I think I hit on everything as far as like that was the last album where he displayed that he can really just tap into great music by himself without really using
without other people. Features. Yeah, you can carry a song by yourself.
Yeah, but KOD, like I said, was some of people's favorite album from him because of all the stuff he was talking about, basically like drug abuse.
Yeah.
That was pretty much
Kevin's song, Kevin's Heart. Because when Kevin Hart was cheating on his wife, et cetera.
Yeah, his main thing was addiction.
Yeah.
Whether it was money, whether it was like the song Photographs, where he's basically talking about how people be fantasizing about other people through like social media.
Yeah, social media, like the live social media. So, right. Yeah, just live life, get off your phone.
Yeah, that album, J. Cole, really displays a lot of imagery. I like the album.
Do you remember the first time you heard that album?
The first time I heard the album was the day he dropped it.
Yeah, we was on the way back from going away back to Houston from it was college break. I don't know if it was probably the first.
I think it was
driving back.
I want to say it was it? No, it wasn't spring. Was it spring? Right? Or was it the semester?
I think it was the semester was over.
Yeah.
For the year. Yeah. I think so. Yeah, because summer break. I think that sounds.
That sounds correct.
Yeah.
But yeah, that album did pretty good as well. I think that one went double platinum also. I think so. That was that 3 years in a row.
Yeah. And then he went the whole
3 years in a row, dog.
Then the fall off. This is when Kendrick. This is when really took off because Kendrick was just.
Yeah, and so like, J. Cole, after that, I want to say, like I said, yeah, I think I mentioned this earlier. He dropped a tweet basically saying, feed me beats. And then that's where you get all the songs with him on features. And this is where Cole really gets into his bag as far as, like, not only being a lyricist, but being able to step outside his boundary lines on other people's songs, whether it be trap drum songs, real iconic song like A Lot with 21 Savage. That song actually gave Cole his first Grammy.
Yeah, which is crazy.
And
best feature?
That was a best rap video.
Oh, best rap video. Okay.
Yeah. Shout out to 21 Savage for that.
Yeah.
And then Cole just got on a lot of songs. After that, you can do the feature with Bia, the London joint.
Yeah.
He got on, he had two songs called The London. He had another song, The London, with Young Thug and Travis Scott. That one was a hit. What's another feature? Probably one of my favorite features over the last few years was him and Benny the Butcher.
Yeah, I knew that's where he was going. Come on, man.
His verse was probably the best rap verse of that year.
Niggas when it dropped. Going to hell to the front. Of the, I was like, oh my God. Yeah, that's when I was like, yeah.
And Jake so,
Cole's number two.
Yeah.
Solidly number two.
Nah. We're not going to do that right now. And it just like, I think it really emphasized that Cole can really, I've been saying this the whole pod, Cole can really adapt to everybody. It was so many features that he just hopped on, like you wouldn't even expect. Yeah, like recently,
I think he did with Young Nudie? Well, maybe not.
Well, no, Nudie got on a song with him.
Yeah.
That was on the Revenge of the Dreamers 3.
Yeah, yeah.
Like
him tapping in with the younger generation, all this, people coming after him. Show was great. Kendrick did that too, but not to the crazy extent that Cole did. Cole was just like, yeah, just give me a, yeah.
And it's crazy that you brought that up, because I was just trying to bring up, in the midst of that, that's when he dropped Middle Child.
Man, yep. And I'm a middle child.
And with Middle Child, that really was just like, I think that single put Cole back into the light of like, okay, this dude is not done yet.
Nope.
And with that song, he really just enlightened it. He is the middle child of the rap game. Mm-hmm. Bigger brother to like artists like 21, mm-hmm. Kodak, he said it. And then he also, the younger brothers of rappers like Hove and Nas, and you know, and for him to be able to tap into two different eras of the rap game and still be consistent and still be good. Because that track was produced by T-Minus.
Yeah.
And I was like one of the first tracks that Cole allowed another producer to really put their hands on the beat. Mm-hmm. And after that, it's like a second coming of J. Cole's career, because it was like, dang, Cole been on this spree where he making his own music as far as it's just him on every song. It's just pretty much him and his team on every beat, etc. And now he's allowing other people to like really just like touch on his songs and really like shedding light on what he really can do.
Yeah.
And while I'm saying all this, Kendrick Lamar is back there hiding.
Yeah.
Back there just chilling, waiting 5 years to drop an album. But in the midst of that, this is where we get to
the fall off.
No, not the fall off. The off season. Let's talk about the off season. J. Cole dropped the off season in 2022?
Yeah. 2022.
I want to say like April 2022. Let me make sure I got the date correct. Oh, no, it was 2021. My fault.
Oh, damn.
Yeah.
The end of 2021?
No, it was May. April. Yeah, April, May. Yeah. May 14th, 2021. J. Cole drops the offseason. And with the offseason, people's expectations were trying to see, like, was he gonna allow other artists to get on his album? Mm-hmm. And not just other artists, because he's had times where he allowed other artists, but those artists were people in his camp. Yeah. Boz,
yeah.
Jid, et cetera, you know, people that he was comfortable with making music. But on this album,
21 Savage.
21, Moray, Baby.
Yeah.
And I think initially he had more sales in the first week than Kendrick Lamar.
That's when he was like, people, this is like the most hype. One like the most hype, but like he was like because he had to go on that crazy feature also. Okay. Like some of the new, not the OG, who some of the younger generations, like, oh, they started to navigate to listen to more Cole, more in my opinion. Right. So that, yeah.
And then one of my favorite tracks from that album. There's so many tracks that I like. Obviously, I'm a big Cole fan, but The Climb Back was a song that was released with another song, Lion King on Ice.
Yeah, I remember those two singles he dropped.
Yeah, it's pretty much songs that he dropped before the obviously that he put on the song. Well, he didn't put Lion King on Ice on the album, but he put The Climb Back. The Climb Back is probably my favorite track on there because the song is just riddled with bars. Remember how I said Cole changed his game from starting off in the game with a bunch of punchlines and then developing into a storyteller. Mm-hmm. But in the off season, he really just like emphasized himself. Like he gets back to the punchlines. Although he did have a little bit of storytelling, he had a lot of punchlines. Like in The Climb Back, he had a bar, crazy bar. I made a little tune called Folding Clothes. Folding Clothes was a song he made on For Your Eyes Only. He said a nigga still ain't known for folding under pressure. You know what Cole do.
Yeah.
Make a diamond.
Yeah.
They just rhyming. Me, I'm just quoting gold. Man, stop, bro.
You just quoting who?
Quoting gold.
Quote. Oh, okay. Yeah, okay.
Bars, nigga. Stop playing with him. Man, let's go, man. Let's go.
Hey, I got some Kendrick bars. Now we're gonna talk. That's a great segment to talk about the
come on, man.
Features, because the only another thing I would say, because the only thing I wish when Cole came, I think the only knock on, but for me for Cole is like he didn't come in the game talking shit. It took him a while for him to start popping off at the net. Kendrick, Kendrick control verse. It's like, bro, he went for everybody in the industry. Eminem, Big Sean, Drake. I don't know if I think he name dropped. I think it was everybody in the industry. I'm like, God.
You talking about Control?
Yeah, that Control verse.
Oh, that was
iconic.
That's one of my favorite K-Dot tracks, for sure.
Goat Talk, nigga.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, bro, that track.
Was that a pun? Stop it.
Yes,
stop it, bro. Stop it.
It's a 4-5-headed goat, 6-headed goats. Goat, 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 goat. It's a whole lot of goat shit, nigga.
Oh, my God.
And then speaking of, this is like some of my most notable like features. Like I said the control verse, called the whole industry. And then it took me, because What's Wrong, when I first heard that song with Isaiah Rashad and Zakari, Kendrick Lamar, I'm like, oh, my God. Don't know exactly when it came out, but I remember one of the, you know how I say with Kendrick and his alter ego, and it's like the things he can, different type of things he can do with his voice and like different things. Like, I remember it's like he said, been the best ever from 20, been the best ever from 25, I'm 29 now. And then he goes off. Any nigga that disagrees is a fucking lie. When he said that, I'm like, hey, come on. That's just coming straight for everybody. Like, this is what I wanted to hear. Like, when pop your shit, nigga, if you know you the best like that, just come out with it, come correct with it, saying that, like, go off. Like, I wish I could see, now Cole is doing that, but I wish Cole had been doing that, like, ever since he came out, like, kind of like Kendrick. I'm not going to really knock it from, that's not a big knock, but it's just like a, if you, like, want to get to nitpicking, for me, why I say Kendrick is, like, still has, for me, is better than Cole, but it's not like a crazy margin. But for, it's just like I said, music is based on the listeners, how you react, how you relate, et cetera, et cetera. And I don't, also, speaking of another crazy ass feature, did you, nigga went on an Imagine Dragons song that Radioactive featured.
Oh my God, are we doing this right now?
I'm saying something like crazy, yeah, something like the best, most crazy, I didn't, not like the most craziest notable Kendrick Lamar features. You can't say, you can't, I know you heard that song. Bro, the, nigga the, went off. Bro, nigga went off on a rock song, bro.
The world loved Kendrick Lamar so much, they always try to make him be the poster boy for rap. Always.
I wouldn't
say that. They did. They did.
How?
Outside of Drake, they tried to. At one point in time, they tried. Like I said, that ain't the only song as far as being on a rock or poppy song.
Yeah,
Kendrick Lamar was on. God, what was the other? He had another track, bro.
Probably was quite a few, like with some like people from like pop stars in the industry, type shit. Like Drake, how Drake?
They always trying to make Kendrick Lamar the poster boy for being a rapper.
I think they try to do that because like the fact that I said like him being for him to incorporate conscious rap into the mainstream, like him doing that, like the way how good he was able to do that. I wouldn't say they tried to do that. I never really heard that narrative being pushed much, but hey, you hear what you want to hear, you know? I'm dead ass. I never really heard that narrative much, though, for real. No cap. If I did, I would have definitely.
That's why they always saying he better than Cole. That's why they always saying he better than Drake. In reality, if we want to be honest, right, the best artist out of the three is who?
Kendrick.
No, it's not.
Are you going to say Drake?
Yes.
Drake. Yeah.
If you want to be 100% artist, the best artist.
Yeah, artist,
period.
Okay, yeah.
When it comes to performance, when it comes to sound, when it comes to being, you know.
Yeah, I'll give it. I guess I'll give Aubrey his flowers.
Yeah.
I guess I get that lane.
Being able to tap into different lanes, whether it's singing, whether it's island-like music, whether it's house music, whether it's just rapping over bars, Drake is the best, but when it comes to just rapping, just being a rapper, we're always going to say that Kendrick and J. Cole is better than Drake.
Yeah, facts. Cause it comes like straight lyricism. Like, Drake's pen is, even though he did have the allegation of the ghostwriting, but in the music industry, a lot of artists who do ghostwriting, and like even when someone has a song ghostwritten for them, they still have a collaborative part to say in the song, and so also like going back to something like, because I would just say, because you can carry a song, but you can also like features, if you get a featured on a song, you elevate that song, and just some of the most notable features for me, and then also Family Ties, and that's when. And Kendrick Lamar, if Baby Keem dropped Family Ties, that's when he came back from like 5+ years of just doing nothing, just chilling,
living his best life. I wonder what he was doing, bro. What was Kendrick? Hey, Kendrick, bro. Yeah. Hey, what were you doing them 5 years?
Because I guarantee you, to me, in my opinion, the album, the Missing Around the Big Steppers, I don't think that was the intended album. Like,
Oh, no. We're not doing that. We're not doing that in a pod. No.
He still dropped the album.
Kendrick Lamar waited 5 years to drop some mid.
No, but you also got, remember how, I don't know if you remember this. I'm not, it wasn't mid.
Kendrick Lamar.
Oh my God, this guy. But anyway, because you know how meticulous Dr. Dre is, how he's known for that. He will like literally scrap whole projects. The general public thing, it sounds great, but Dre is gonna if he don't like one small little thing, he just deleted it. And I also remember seeing multiple stories, like, because I see stories of both Dr. Dre and Kendrick Lamar, and I speculation that they was in the same place. It'd be like, I think it was either one of many properties Kendrick Lamar had, and it was at a beach house, and like you just had like the, you know how SZA's cover art album, it's like her in the way, like you can tell from the cover art like the vibes. For that album, I think before Kendrick Lamar dropped Missing Around the Big Steppers, I ain't gonna say it's the same kind of vibe SZA was on, but I think that Dre just didn't sign off on whatever project they was making, and that led to Kendrick Lamar making Missing Around the Big Steppers, because for me, that album, it wasn't my favorite album, not even my second favorite album, but it was just long awaited, but it also wasn't just a terrible album. It wasn't the best, wasn't the worst, Let's say it's in the middle. It's in the middle. I ain't gonna call it mid, it's in the middle.
Hey, bro. When you wait 5 years for an artist.
Yeah.
Bro, ain't no way J. Cole wait 5 years and then he gonna drop something like that.
But also, Kendrick proved, like, he was crowned before he dropped Missing Around the Big Steppers. He was crowned king of the West Coast. That viral clip of him being in concert with Snoop Dogg, Game, probably Dr. Dre, probably Ice Cube was also in attendance. They gave him the crown for king of the West Coast. And I don't know if that was before he dropped Damn. I think it was before he dropped Damn, when they gave him the King of the West Coast.
Yeah, that was before that.
And so after he dropped Damn, I feel like I said, he didn't have nothing else left to prove. He kind of was like, I think that relationship between him and TDE was kind of on the brink of souring. So he was just like, I'm just getting away from the music industry completely. That's just how I see it. Because, like, you can't tell me. It's 5+ years. Artists love to make music. They got released music, hella released music.
They got hella unreleased music.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Hella unreleased music.
Yeah.
So I feel like I'm not gonna, like, this is not for me to just like knock on Missing Around the Big Steppers, but it was definitely a different sound that I wasn't expecting. I was expecting more of a continuation from Damn, sorta, but I was just like, for me, being the Kendrick Lamar fan I am, I still thoroughly enjoyed the album. But yeah.
You know what I wish Kendrick Lamar did?
Yeah.
I know times have changed and he's gotten older and stuff, but I really was hoping he was going to get back into that classic bag, like Good Kid, Mad City.
Yeah. Which I think somewhere in that I released. I don't know. Because I also know he's also starting his own label. So he got, like, also him, he making his, he's also evolving his sound. Because speaking of another one of notable features, like, going back to Family Ties, I'm going to go to the other single he released with his cousin Baby King, but Family Ties, smoking on your top five. You nigga come in with that. We ain't heard from him in 5+ years. Yeah, that's smoking on your top five to God.
But don't you think the criticism is
warranted? Yeah, definitely warranted.
Because you're supposed to be...
I'll be saying the same shit.
Like, think about it, bro. The album cover for Mr. Morale and the Big Steppers.
Yeah.
Like, is he got the damn... Thorn crown on his head.
I didn't get that.
If you gonna do that,
yeah,
for an album cover,
yeah,
that album better be the best album at least that year. It has to.
Okay.
It has to. True. That means you're not just letting everybody say you're the best rapper. You're also putting out there that you believe that you're him.
But for me, he already knew he was him even before that album. But I see what you're saying. He knew he was him. You know what I mean? Like, this is just Missing Around the Big Steppers. This is just extra. Like, he.
So you think that was a filler track? I mean, a filler album?
No, I just like I said, he didn't. It's not a filler album, but he just. I don't feel like he just needed to prove as what he in his previous albums. He didn't prove like he had a point to prove with this album. I just think this, it's not as terrible. It's not great, but it's not terrible. It's solid to me.
Let me clear the air. I'm not gonna say that Mr. Morale was a terrible album. I don't think Kendrick Lamar can make terrible music because he's just that gifted.
Yeah.
But when you take 5 years off, and I can't reiterate this enough, and you
blame TD,
you gotta drop some gold, bro. Like, yeah, you gotta drop something that's gonna stick. You gotta drop something that's timeless. You gotta drop something that has replay value. The only song that I go, I'm lying. It's two songs that I go back to now. At first, it was N95.
Yeah, I'm finna say that.
But you know, another song that I kind of like now is Rich Spirit.
Yeah, I mean, let me get the whole track. Let me see if you still. I'm gonna drop the track by track and see if you still fuck. Let me see. United in Grief. No.
No.
Worldwide Steppers.
No.
Okay. Cap. Die Hard?
Nada.
Nah, he definitely capping that.
I'm serious.
Father Time with Sampha?
That's a solid song, but I don't go back to that shit.
You don't go back? For me, because I play music, I just throw it on shuffle. We Cry Together?
Is that the...
That's the one at the music video. Yeah.
The Toxic Shit?
The Toxic Shit.
Bro, I'm not going back to that. What do I need to go back to there? That for? See, that's a song. I'm glad he did this too. That's a song where he
Yeah, this is supposed to be a whole double album.
Yeah, yeah. That's a song where you're supposed to drop a music video. Yeah. And I love how he did that. That was a perfect song to drop a music video to show the toxic
relationships.
That was a great song as far as concept. Yeah. But I ain't going back to that shit.
Man, I still some of those because the one guy with Kodak, like, but I would never expect to see a song with Kendrick Lamar and Kodak Black. I was not expecting.
You know what I think? This is my theory. Mm-hmm. I think he was trying to copy J. Cole. Bring somebody in the game that's younger than him mm-hmm. under your wing.
But he never really brought him under his wing. I think he just
liked his sound. Code the Devil 21.
But they got more songs together.
They only got two songs.
Ah, true. Okay.
Pretty much the same amount as K-Dot. Okay. Well, they got two songs. Well,
yeah. Because Kodak was on two different songs on the album. Yeah. So, yeah.
He was trying to get somebody in the younger game I don't know exactly,
but I get what you're saying.
Yeah.
I get what you're saying.
He tried to copy the GOAT. That's pretty much what I'm saying, bro.
He trying to copy himself?
No. Stop it, bro. We got to stop that, dog. Hey, for real. Man. We got to stop that.
Hey, man. But like I said, that run, like, his Kendrick Lamar's run from 2012 to 2017 versus
J. Cole's run from his start to now, because he basically just... What did he do?
When did J. Cole stop
his career and then took his career to 111?
Yeah, but it took him, like, from when he first came in the game, he wasn't talking shit. He wasn't doing it the same way. Well, I ain't gonna say the same way, but he just wasn't doing it like Kendrick was doing it, in my opinion. That's just from, like, that three album, Good Kid, Mad City, The Pimp a Butterfly. And then, making conscious rap more commercial, making for more audience to hear. And then, because that's the thing.
Except for Pimp a Butterfly. I'm not going to say that was flawless, but go ahead.
It had its great moments. Yeah, yeah. It wasn't flawless, but yeah, it had its good moments. That's still, like, one of his top albums.
Yo.
But then, that's what makes it so crazy, because, like, after he dropped Damn, he's like, I don't got anything else to prove. So, and then that's when just, I think, I'm going to say around the same year. But Cole was like, man, I realize how great I am now. I can just start talking my shit on these tracks,
yeah.
Which he started doing. And, like, his run as, like, number one was, like, that's where the biggest discord drops. Because after Kendrick dropped Damn, he, like, kind of dropped out the face of the earth, rarely doing features until he did, like, the family ties with his cousin, yeah, King,
Baby King,
and shit like that. And then after he dropped off from that, 2012, 2017 is when Cole kind of really took off, being popping his shit type shit.
Yeah.
So that's why I say it's like the discord for me. Like I'm gonna keep saying this. Like after Damn, he didn't have anything up to prove. Yeah. He did what he came in the game to do. Like nowadays, because like you have their peak. Like for me, each album he kept getting better and better and better. Kept elevating his sound, like production, everything.
Yeah.
And then it's like you don't have anything left to prove. You're gonna still make music. You're gonna still drop music, of course. But right. You're not looking to prove nothing. Cole, I think he's still, like, after K-Dot went radio silent, Cole's still looking to prove, show niggas that he can be just as good, if not better. Like, that's why I went on the crazy-ass feature run,
but,
which is what I would give him over the edge over Kendrick, because he didn't do it. Kendrick didn't never nowhere near as many features as Cole did, with, like, different artists and type of shit.
Right.
So, but yeah, like, that's when I think Cole was still trying to prove that he the number one.
Think about what you just said, though.
Yeah.
Cole, after 2014, Four Chill Drop, people already calling J. Cole one of the greatest rappers ever.
Mm-hmm.
And Cole was doing something that you really have to, like, be comfortable with yourself doing, branching out to all these other artists and producers and just making your own, you know, your own high quality music. Cole said, over time, Cole said, well, I didn't hit that ceiling. Let me scrap that shit. And then tap into another area. And now his career went from I'm one of the GOATs to now that he's on like
yeah, it's him, Kendrick, and Drake.
He's on a level where if he don't drop, if the Fall Off isn't a great album, isn't a great album,
they're going to compare it to.
No, he's gonna get killed for it.
Yeah, they're gonna probably say it's like the the J. Cole version of the Kendrick Lamar, Mr. Brown, the Big Step.
It has to be a great album. Like, it has to be the album of the year. It has to have... It got to be on the level of, remember Baby Drop, My Turn in 2020, all those hits on it?
Man.
It got to be better than that.
Yeah.
It has to.
And I think that's why he hasn't released it, because he's...
Exactly.
Bro, at this point, you know who he is. Just drop it.
And I don't care about this year.
Kendrick, I know you're hearing this. Drop the fucking music, nigga. Make that collab album, please. We need it. You still the greatest of this generation in my eyes. Cole's still the greatest of this generation in his eyes. We're just going to agree to disagree. And, yeah. The main purpose of this episode is just to try to inform the general public, because y'all be sleeping on Kendrick. Y'all be sleeping on... Well, not really seriously sleeping, but they just...
Yeah, you see that? Educated and informed. Sleeping on Kendrick, but we not sleeping on Cole.
I'm saying both. They're not really listening to Nice try, Clark. This nigga right here, nice try. You are hilarious.
Nah, but like I said, bro.
And then, what were you going to say about that picture?
Nah, like I said, the fall off, it has to be a great album, because he even put the pressure on himself with that joint that he just dropped, the I Might Delete Later joint that he just dropped like a week or two ago.
Yeah.
He said that the fall off,
that's supposed to be his end all be all. Like, that's retirement after that, right?
No, what he said was the fall off is like Jay-Z dropping Reasonable Doubt last. Reasonable Doubt is Jay-Z's best album. To a lot of people. Me personally, I think Jay-Z's best album is the Black Album. That's just
me. That's where I am with that.
Yeah. But a lot of people say, and Reasonable Doubt was Jay-Z's first album too. He basically saying that the fall off is, you can go ahead and book it. So if he come out and drop this and that shit is a flop, I'm not even, like, I don't even think J. Cole could drop a flop album. It's if it don't live up.
Remember, like I said, the hype. Yeah, like I said, gonna live up to the hype. Just right. Like Miss Brown, the Big Steppers, taking all that, it didn't live up to the hype.
Right. Like I said in the last episode, like, whenever an artist name drop an album and doesn't drop it for like years, it gotta be good. Like I said, Uzi, he dropped the Pink Tape, but they've been talking about the Pink Tape for years, bro.
Yeah.
And what happened? That shit was trash. One,
besides the first track, I was so, I'm a Uzi fan.
Yeah, bro.
I was so like, bro, this is what he did? I think that was just like, how it'd be like, it's just a collection of songs you just threw together. Well, I ain't gonna say a collection of songs. It just didn't have that continuity, like the Pink. That's gonna be interesting. Whenever Cole, hey, Jermaine.
Yo.
Drop that shit, nigga. Drop it.
Yeah, but y'all let me know, bro. Who y'all think is the better rapper of this generation? J. Cole or K-Dot? I guarantee it's going to be a lot more J. Cole.
Hey, we going to see. Hey, let's get real active in the comments. I need y'all to get crazy active.
Yeah, bro.
Because, like, the group chat, there's some of us who are
tripping.
This guy's tripping, man. This guy's tripping, man. But yeah, going back to like I talk about family ties, and then also Hillbillies, which just goes to show like Kendrick Lamar elevating his sound, coming back like 5+ years. Like, bro, Hillbillies, he don't got. I know it's just a feature and it's like Baby Keem's song, but like Kendrick Lamar coming, that's like no sound I've really heard from Kendrick Lamar, but until I heard that song. From when I heard that song, I was like, okay, so now we kind of elevating to like transition is. His style and his game into like the with the Baby Keem and some of these new age melodic type rappers.
Sure.
Baby Keem, who are some of the people gonna throw on that list? Not Baby Tron, but like some of these, like, so y'all know some of the newer age artists, like the Cardis. I ain't gonna say like the Cardis, but just some of the new age artists, like show how he can evolve his game. Cause like, bro, you hear Kendrick on Hill, but he's just like, what? He just vibing. This is a vibe song. Just like, yeah, it's nothing too crazy lyrically, but it's like a nice little, you just show his evolution in the rap game. So yeah, and as we begin, so you got anything else you'd like to add for Cole?
No, like, shit, I pretty much cap it off, Cole. Hey, but like I said earlier, Cole said he never folded under pressure. You know what Cole do, make a diamond.
Yeah.
Well, all you niggas just rhyming, I'm quoting gold. Or y'all niggas just trying to go for gold. Oh my God. Man, stop playing, bro. Stop playing.
4-year run, 25-29. Any nigga that disagrees is a fucking lie. Any nigga that disagrees is a fucking lie.
We gonna see, bro.
Kendrick Lamar on Radioactive. Fuck your means, I'm getting better with time. Ah.
Hey, what if Cole got a Kendrick?
If he got a Kendrick. Feature. But that nigga's.
Oh, yeah. Since you said that, I want to say, I want, like, on this album, her Fall Off, I want some heavy features on there.
Yeah.
Like, I want a Beyonce feature.
I don't think that's going to happen.
Yeah,
I can, but you never know. Shoot for the stars. Yeah. Aim for the moon. Shoot for the stars.
It don't have to be too many artists.
But
and, you know, I just want...
Some artists you never think you would hear. Collaboration.
Yeah, I want a Beyonce feature. This probably ain't going to happen. It should, but it probably won't. I want a Hov feature.
Yeah.
You know, they ain't been on a song in years together. Facts. You know what I'm saying? And then a Weezy feature.
Mm, that would be nice.
And you could probably finish it with a Baby feature. And I'll be solid. And then obviously, you know, incorporate, you know, maybe a few joints from, you know, his own artist. Jid, Boz, etc. You know what I'm saying?
Harder than into another R&B type banger. Yeah.
Yeah, bro. So, you know.
So, but yeah.
I don't know what to expect. I did see that he was in the studio with Metro Boomin. Some bangers go. Yeah, there's gonna be some bangers. I can't wait for that.
Been working with 21 Savage and the Metro Boomin. The relationship's just grown from there. So yeah. So like I said, like as we begin to wind down this episode, we both gave our had our reasons for why we think Kendrick Lamar is the greatest this generation. Why he thinks Cole is. Well, we just want to see what y'all think. Like I said, again, I'm going to say Kendrick Lamar's run from 2012 to 2017, J. Cole's run from 2018, you could say, till now, still. He's still going crazy.
14.
Like 20, you said, all right.
Well, it's 2014, bro. That's his run.
We're just going to agree to this. I can't give him 2014.
I'll give him
2018.
Nah, if you want to be honest, I want to say ever since... He just been on everybody features. I think Cole really just been at the top. For sure. Like, if you want to be 100% honest, not biased or anything, ever since he just been running on all these features with everybody, he been the best rapper, period.
Yeah, if I wanted to say this current top three from the, I'm just going to say Kendrick, Cole, and Drizzy Drake.
Yeah.
Lame nigga Drake. And that's the only reason why Drake is number three, because he was lame.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
I told y'all, bro, he is a Drizzy hater.
Not a Drizzy hater. I just don't like corny niggas, bro.
Hey, bro.
So I'm gonna fuck with LeBron like that. Hey. And it'd be corny. Oh my god. Hotline Bling looking at him. Oh man, yeah. This is a great episode. I like this. I'm glad I was able to. As we begin to wind down, thank y'all for tuning in to the Goat Talk podcast for another episode. I hope y'all enjoy it. Again, like I said in the comments, get active, get crazy. Like, comment, subscribe, share with your friends. What tag them, waste their time. But anything you want to say, man, left to the people, man, before we log out for the day?
Yeah, man, I just want to say I appreciate everybody that tapped in. We still, you know, iron out the kinks on as far as, like, production-wise. Like, we got all this production stuff that we got set up, and we're just having a few minor errors. So if you just bear with us, we'll iron it out. It'll be smooth and better episodes ahead. Bro.
Yeah, facts. We'll talk. So thank y'all for tuning in. You might just hit that stop right now.
You're listening to the Goat Talk Podcast.
Next time it's going to be a big one. You know what I'm saying? Fuck what you're talking about.